Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Thank you for tuning in to radio.lds.org. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. You know, during the week, we get a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls. People have questions. We got an email from Thomas who asked how he can better understand Revelation 3:15. If you don't have your scriptures handy, let me read Revelation 3:15 to you. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Thomas, that's a great scripture and a great question as well. Obviously, the Lord wants us to make a decision and wants us to be obedient. He doesn't want us to sit on the fence. He wants us to make a decision as to whom we're going to follow. Many people feel that the commandments are burdensome and that they limit freedom and personal growth. But the Savior taught that true freedom comes only from following Him. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, it reads, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." God gives commandments for our benefit. They are loving instructions for our happiness and for our physical and spiritual well-being. Elder Dallin H. Oaks in the October 2009 General Conference talks about love and its connection with keeping the commandments.
The love of God does not supersede His laws and His commandments, and the effect of God's laws and commandments does not diminish the purpose and effect of His love. The same should be true of parental love and rules. First, consider the love of God, described so meaningfully this morning by President Uchtdorf. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The Apostle Paul asked. Not tribulation, not persecution, not peril or the sword. For I am persuaded, he concluded, that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. There is no greater evidence of the infinite power and perfection of God's love than is declared by the Apostle John. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Another apostle wrote that God spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Think how it must have grieved our Heavenly Father to send His Son to endure incomprehensible suffering for our sins. That is the greatest evidence of His love for each of us. God's love for His children is an eternal reality. But why does He love us so much? And why do we desire that love? The answer is found in the relationship between God's love and His laws. Some seem to value God's love because of their hope that His love is so great and so unconditional that it will mercifully excuse them from obeying His laws. In contrast, those who understand God's plan for His children know that God's laws are invariable, which is another great evidence of His love for His children. Mercy cannot rob justice, and those who obtain mercy are they who have kept the covenant and observed the commandment. We read again and again in the Bible and in modern scriptures of God's anger with the wicked and of His acting in His wrath against those who violate His laws. How are anger and wrath evidence of His love? Joseph Smith taught that God instituted laws whereby the spirits that He would send into the world could have a privilege to advance like Himself. God's love is so perfect that He lovingly requires us to obey His commandments because He knows that only through obedience to His laws can we become perfect like He is. God's anger and His wrath are not a contradiction of His love, but an evidence of His love. Every parent knows that you can love a child totally and completely while still being creatively angry and disappointed at that child's self-defeating behavior. The love of God is so universal that His perfect plan bestows many gifts on all of His children, even those who disobey His laws. Mortality is one such gift bestowed on all who qualified in the war in heaven. Another unconditional gift is the universal resurrection. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Many other mortal gifts are not tied to our personal obedience to law. As Jesus taught, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. If only we will listen, we can know of God's love and feel it, even when we are disobedient. A woman recently returned to church activity gave this description in a sacrament meeting talk. He has always been there for me, even when I rejected him. He has always guided me and comforted me with his tender mercies all around me. But I was too angry to see and accept incidents and feelings as such.
Elder Dallin H. Oaks from the October 2009 General Conference. In the premortal existence, our Heavenly Father presided over the Great Council in Heaven. There we learned of his plan for our salvation, which included a time of testing on this earth. In the book of Abraham, chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, it states, "We will make an earth whereon these may dwell, and we will prove them herewith to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them." One of the reasons we're here on earth is to show our willingness to obey Heavenly Father's commandments. In the April 1998 General Conference, Elder Henry B. Eyring talks about the sacrament prayer and how we promise obedience.
Where people have that spirit with them, we may expect harmony. The Spirit puts the testimony of truth in our hearts, which unifies those who share that testimony. The Spirit of God never generates contention. It never generates the feelings of distinctions between people which lead to strife. It leads to personal peace and a feeling of union with others. It unifies souls, a unified family, a unified church, and a world at peace. Depend on unified souls. Even a child can understand what to do to have the Holy Ghost as a companion. The sacramental prayer tells us. We hear it every week as we attend our sacrament meeting. In those sacred moments, we renew the covenants we made at baptism. And the Lord reminds us of the promise we received as we were confirmed members of the church. The promise that we might receive the Holy Ghost. Hear the words of the sacramental prayer. They are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. We can have his Spirit by keeping that covenant. First, we promise to take his name upon us. That means we must see ourselves as his. We will put him first in our lives. We will want what he wants rather than what we want or what the world teaches us to want. As long as we love the things of the world first, there will be no peace in us. Holding an ideal for a family or a nation of comfort through material goods will at last divide them. The ideal of doing for each other what the Lord would have us do, which follows naturally from taking his name upon us, can take us to a spiritual level which is a touch of heaven on earth. Second, we promise always to remember him. We do that every time we pray in his name, especially when we ask for his forgiveness, as we must do often. We remember him. At that moment, we remember his sacrifice that makes repentance and forgiveness possible. When we plead, we remember him as our advocate with the Father. When the feelings of forgiveness and peace come, we remember his patience and his endless love. That remembering fills our hearts with love. We also keep our promise to remember him when, as families, we pray together and when we read the scriptures. At family prayer around a breakfast table, one child may pray for another to be blessed that things will go well that day in a test or in some performance. When the blessings come, the child blessed will remember the love of the morning and the kindness of the advocate in whose name the prayer was offered. Hearts will be bound in love. We keep our covenant to remember him every time we gather our families to read the scriptures. They testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, for that is the message and always has been of prophets. Even if children do not remember the words, they will remember the true author, who is Jesus Christ. Third, we promise as we take the sacrament to keep his commandments, all of them. President J. Reuben Clark, as he pled, as he did many times, for unity in a general conference talk, warned us against being selective in what we will obey. He put it this way: the Lord has given us nothing that is useless or unnecessary. He has filled the Scriptures with the things which we should do in order that we may gain salvation. President Clark went on, when we partake of the sacrament, we covenant to obey and keep his commandments. There are no exceptions. There are no distinctions, no differences. President Clark taught that just as we repent of all sin, not just a single sin, we pledge to keep all the commandments. Hard as that sounds, it is uncomplicated. We simply submit to the authority of the Savior and promise to be obedient to whatever he commands. It is our surrender to the authority of Jesus Christ which will allow us to be bound as families, as a church, and as the children of our Heavenly Father.
That's Elder Henry B. Eyring. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you have a question for us, you can email us at radio@ldschurch.org. You can always find us at radio.lds.org as well. Thank you so much to Thomas, who wrote in and asked us how we can better understand Revelation 3:15. Revelation 3:15 states, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that obedience to the commandments leads to blessings from God. He said in Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, 20 through 21, there is a law irrevocably decreed in heaven before the foundations of this world upon which all blessings are predicated. And when we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it is predicated. King Benjamin also taught this principle. He said, I would desire that ye should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. He also counseled, for behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual, and if they will hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, and thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. Oh, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God hath spoken it. In the October 2009 General Conference, Elder Dallin H. Oaks talks about the blessings that come from obedience.
God's choicest blessings are clearly contingent upon obedience to God's laws and commandments. The key teaching is from modern revelation. There is a law irrevocably decreed in heaven before the foundations of this world upon which all blessings are predicated. And when we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it is predicated. This great principle helps us understand the why of many things, like justice and mercy, balanced by the atonement. It also explains why God will not forestall the exercise of agency by his children. Agency, our power to choose, is fundamental to the gospel plan that brings us to earth. God does not intervene to forestall the consequences of some person's choices in order to protect the well-being of other persons, even when they kill, injure, or oppress one another, for this would destroy his plan for our eternal progress. He will bless us to endure the consequences of others' choices, but he will not prevent those choices. If a person understands the teachings of Jesus, he or she cannot reasonably conclude that our loving Heavenly Father or his divine Son believe that their love supersedes their commandments. Consider these examples. When Jesus began his ministry, his first message was repentance. When he exercised loving mercy by not condemning the woman taken in adultery, he nevertheless told her, go and sin no more. Jesus taught, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The effect of God's commandments and laws is not changed to accommodate popular behavior or desires. If anyone thinks that godly or parental love for an individual grants the loved one license to disobey the law, They do not understand either love or law. The Lord declared, that which breaketh a law and abideth not by the law, but seeketh to become a law unto itself and willeth to abide in sin and altogether abideth in sin, cannot be sanctified by law, neither by mercy, justice, nor judgment. Therefore, they must remain filthy still. We read in modern Revelation, all kingdoms have a law given. For example, he who is not able to abide the law of a celestial kingdom cannot abide a celestial glory. And he who cannot abide the law of a terrestrial kingdom cannot abide a terrestrial glory. And he who cannot abide the law of a celestial kingdom cannot abide a celestial glory. In other words, the kingdom of glory to which the final judgment assigns us is not determined by love, but by law that God has invoked in his plan to qualify us for eternal life, the greatest of all the gifts of God.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. You're listening to the Mormon Channel at radio.lds.org. This is the Mormon Channel's Q&A. Thomas wrote in asking how he can better understand Revelation 3:15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Our obedience to the commandments is an expression of our love for our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. The Savior said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. He later declared in John 15, verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In the October 1997 General Conference, Elder Robert D. Hales talks about what it means to love God and to keep his commandments.
How do we know if we've progressed from the eye for an eye mentality and accepted his gospel to forgive and love one another? How we treat our family members, our neighbors, business associates, and all we meet will reveal if we have taken his name upon us and do always remember him. How we conduct our lives, all we do and all we say, reflects on how we remember him. If we truly love him, we will keep his commandments, as he has asked very simply. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We pray to our Father in heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the great mediator, though omnipotent and omnipotent, all-powerful and all-knowing, he is our friend. After counseling early brethren of the church to set in order your own house, he said, I will call you friends, for you are my friends. With all of his greatness, he has said that he is our friend. We have been asked to be a friend to our neighbors and to teach them the gospel, to be a friend to new converts, that the fruit of our labors may remain. Our prophet has asked us to be a friend. Can our prophet expect anything less? When we are baptized in his name and always remember him and keep his commandments, he gives us the greatest blessing he can give us, that to always have his spirit to be with us. That spirit is of the Lord is light. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am the life and the light of the world. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is the light which is in all things, which giveth life to all things, which is the law by which all things are governed. Light and darkness cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Where the light of Christ is found, the darkness of Lucifer, even Satan, must depart defeated. May we follow the light and choose the right.
Elder Robert D. Hales. Thomas, thank you so much for writing into the Mormon Channel and asking about Revelation 3:15. Hopefully we were able to address obedience and the importance of obedience. If you have a question, you can email us at radio@ldschurch.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much for tuning in to radio.lds.org, and thanks for listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.